I'm sure many of you are wondering why I'm not talking about the Facebook controversy, which has been raging internationally in global media, also in Indian media, and generally in our debate. In any case, it looks like every few months Facebook hits a controversy, not just in India, but also globally. But this time, this has been quite intense. This started in September with the Wall Street Journal in America starting a series, The Facebook Files, a Wall Street Journal investigation, which made a lot of revelations. And the larger revelation was that Facebook actually manipulated what we were watching, what we were interacting with, how we were interacting, and in a way was appealing to our baser instincts. And through that appeal to our baser instincts, actually drawing a lot of commercial benefit, because what makes us angry or what gets us exercised or what gets us triggered is also something that makes us look at the screen for longer. So we read, we watch it for longer. Also, because we are provoked, we respond to it, so engagement goes up. And the longer you stay on the screen, the more advertising runs on that screen and Facebook makes more money. So more engagement, it's true of YouTube also. The longer you watch, Cut the Clutter, if you watch only for 3 minutes, we get very little money. And YouTube will get very little money. If you watch all of it, YouTube will get some money. We will also get some money. It's not that much money from these mid-roll advertisements, as they are called. But there'll be something. Ad karte 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 karte, boon boon se ghada barta hai, you know, every drop fills the pitcher. But if you don't watch for long enough, so everything we do also is to keep you engaged, that you watch longer. But everything that YouTube also does is to try and keep you engaged. And also what YouTube does, I'm using that example for you, what YouTube does is exactly what, say, Facebook and others would do. That is, they have artificial intelligence or machine learning tools that figure out what is it that you like to watch. For example, if they figure that, oh, so-and-so actually is researching these days on Google lots of stuff on diabetic drugs, right? I'm using a very general example. Then you would find that a lot of the advertising on what you read on internet or what you watch on YouTube will be to do with maybe drugs for blood pressure, drugs for sugar control, or more than the drugs, it will be about alternative remedies for sugar control, for blood pressure control, because there are limitations to how much drugs you can advertise. And you might also find that YouTube, in terms of recommended readings on the site, will give you a lot of stuff on the on health. Similarly, if you're reading about terrorism a lot, or if you're watching a lot of videos on terrorism, then that artificial intelligence, that big brother or big sister that's watching you all the time, they'll figure out that this insan ko terrorism ke bare mein padhne mein interest hai. This guy wants to read about terrorism. So you will get a lot more videos on issues related to terrorism. Similarly, if you like knitting, if you like cooking, anything. So artificial intelligence and machine learning tools pick it up. Now what happens is, when somebody also figures out what is it that gets you angry, and what gets you angry keeps you on the screen longer, right? So jitna aap naraaz hoge, the angrier you get, the better it is for me. That is what this series of stories and revelations tells you about Facebook. And Facebook has said that they've acknowledged that they've been these aberrations. And once again, they are saying they are bringing in the correctives. But see the details of how this is done. Now, all this started because one woman called Frances Haugen, 38 years old, she walked out of Facebook. She had a good job. She was a product manager. You know, Facebook pays you very well. You get equity, etc., etc. You can be very rich. Almost anybody at her level would have already become quite rich, and with the prospect of becoming much richer going ahead. But maybe most likely pushed by her conscience, she came out, and she came out with a large bunch of documents, including internal reports, including a lot of the records of the internal message board, where people are raising these concerns within Facebook, and also the responses to them on how the powers that be in Facebook are actually pushing these aside, because they know that more engagement means more money, more revenue, and more anger means more engagement. More anger and more negativity means more engagement. So I can do no better than to quote from a line that Frances Haugen spoke at the British Parliament, because she's now been speaking at British Parliament, American Parliament, everywhere. In fact, Pierre Omidyar, who's a well-known tech entrepreneur, but also an activist, a global philanthropist, he has now taken charge of looking after her, providing her legal help, protection, etc., etc. So she's now spreading the word all over the place. So she's used a line in her testimony before the British Parliament that underlines the gist of what's going on. That line is, and I'm quoting her, quote, "Anger and hate is the easiest way to grow on Facebook." That's what she told British Parliament. So that is where we are coming from. Now, how did they start this and how do they do this? Now, it's very simple. You see Facebook, once again, I speak as a newcomer, as a newbie. So if I make any mistakes, you can pardon me. I still haven't learned to use Facebook. Nevertheless, I know the difference between a like and emojis. Although I have never used an emoji in my life. If you ever see an emoji from me, I maybe on a touch screen hit something by mistake. I will never use an emoji, because if I have to express an emotion, I'm old fashioned. I'd rather say it in 10 words or 5 words or something. I'm very happy. I don't agree with you. Something like that. I will not just put a dumb emoji. Anyway, so Facebook initially had only one option. That is, for example, like, right? Thumbs up. That was universal. That was well known. What they then did was they brought in 5 more things. So 1 + 5. So they brought in 5 emojis. These 5 emojis, besides the one like, were love. You know how it is. Haha, wow, sad, and angry. Right? Then what did they do? They realized that like shy to sab karte rahte hain, right? So let's do something better, some way of increasing engagement. Then they figured that when people put an emoji, that means they are more sentimentally involved with the post. So within their internal system, where machine learning and artificial intelligence work, again, that big brother or sister, whatever you call it, that's watching you all the time, there they put a little twist that for every like, if you get the weightage of 1, for every emoji, you got a weightage of 5. Right? So automatically what the internal algorithm did was that when people put an emoji on something, that was shared with more people. So that got more traffic, that was seen with more people. And these included angry emojis. So what happened across the world, particularly where you have authoritarian regimes or where you have groups that are carrying out hate campaigns? It happened even in the US, say with the George Floyd case or January 6 riots on Capitol Hill, that people use these methods. So what you then do is similar methods. I'm not saying they exactly did this, but similar methods in the sense that you find a way of promoting indirectly your hate posts or posts that caused more anger. This happened during the Delhi riots of 2020, for example. This happened, I will also quote later from a Washington Post story that tells you, this also happened in a big way in India during the 2019 elections, particularly after the Pulwama bombing and Balakot, etc., etc., because that was then used by, say, the pro-BJP groups to get people really angry and exercised, and it suited Facebook. So Facebook may not have been deliberately working with them. It is just that popular anger suited Facebook, and that is how those posts, a lot of those were dodgy news or fake news. A lot of it was violent content or provocative content. So all that then became that much more oil to the flame. So see how this works. Like, weightage of 1, emoji, weightage of 5. Then internally, a lot of people said, what the hell is going on? You are causing rioting all over the world. Particularly in the developing world, the poorer world, where people are also less aware and also people complain less. The state oversight is limited. The NGOs, etc., who keep an eye on these things, internet freedom organizations are not so active. So that's causing a lot of damage. Now, this came up when a lot of the Facebook stuff was linked to Rohingya massacres in Myanmar. That got Facebook hassled because the UN produced a very damning report on that. After that, Facebook actually diverted a lot of resources or created a lot of resources in Myanmar to stop hate speech. But that is because pressure had come from the UN. But they did not do this for Indonesia. They did not do it for India. They did not do it for many other countries. Ethiopia, for example. Now, if you see the countries that have had violent upsurges lately, Ethiopia is one of them. Ethiopia's prime minister, who won the Nobel Peace Prize just a couple of years back. In fact, we did a whole Cut the Clutter on Ethiopia a while back. I'll share a link with you. That country is now in a big internal turmoil and war. The state is at war with one of its provinces, the war in Tigray. I'm sure if you watch Al Jazeera or BBC or even CNN sometimes, because sometimes even the CNN covers Africa, wars in Africa, then you will find what's going on there. And that's where it looks like Facebook had no oversight. So India is one of those countries. Pakistan is one of those countries. Now, one of the reasons that Haugen's documentation tells us Facebook finds it difficult to control hate speech in these countries is that it simply hasn't invested sufficiently in the languages spoken in these countries. For example, Facebook has invested too little in Hindi and Bengali. And these are two of the major languages in India. What about all the other languages in India in which Facebook does business here? Facebook, India is Facebook's largest market, right? But if you look at, again, this is what the data reveals. If you look at all the money that Facebook invests in preventing hate speech or violent content or fake content, 84% of goes into America, 16% for the rest of the world. This when only 10% of Facebook's users all over the world are in America. At this point, in fact, if you look at the data of Government of India, our own Ministry of Information Technology, it tells you that Facebook has 41 crore users in India. 41 crore users, right? 41 crore users in India. That is much more than the population of United States of America. And yet, India gets the oversight budget, which is a fraction of this 16% of their overall budget. 84% goes into America. You know why? Because America is where the sarkar is to be feared. America is where the oversight systems are to be feared. America is where the Congress, the investigating agencies, they ask questions. They summon Mark Zuckerberg. They don't sit with him for selfies. They summon him, ask him hard questions. And that is where a whistleblower like this can come out and make full disclosure and get everybody focused and fixated. So this is where the problem arises. Now see what they did. When they got this noise in Myanmar and elsewhere, then they said, okay. And there are timelines to it, which I'm not going into. They said, okay. We'll carry on like this. So this 1:5 will continue. 1 for like and weightage of 5 for all emojis, except anger. Aap log ko anger pasand nahi hai na, usko 4 kar dete hai. Right? So 5 se 4 kar diya, thank you very much. Lekin sad to hai, right? Us sad ko laga diya. Uske baad phir shor hua. When more noise was made, then this September, just last month, after this stuff came out from Haugen, from Francis Haugen and Wall Street Journal, and the rest began to follow up, and the US Congress started inquiries and hearings. Then they said, all right, we are now changing it. We are not dropping the emojis. Emojis are very valuable. But we are making it 1:1.5. So 1 for like, 1.5 weightage for the other emojis. Then in the course of time, they said, all right, 1 and 2. Anger ko chhod do, anger still remains there, right? And then this is quite telling. So there's a Facebook internal research document, which has also come out with Francis Haugen, that shows, that document actually says that in many countries now, anger is being weaponized by all kinds of fake news peddlers or people who promote violence or hatred of communities, including anti-science people and including anti-vaxxers. Because you get angry about something, it goes up. After that, they try to figure something out. At some point, they also demoted angry. But you know what? There are further mysteries there. Because what does demoting or deboosting a post mean? What it means is that, first of all, through a system that is completely opaque, that we know nothing about, that nobody knows anything about, that advertiser knows nothing about, that user, you and I know nothing about, they give a weightage to a post. Now that post, the weightage, usually weightage for post are in about say hundreds, but some can be given in billions. That's what all these revelations tell us. Now they may say, I'm demoting this or de-boosting this. That means I'm demoting it by 50%. Isko kambakht ko half kar diya. Ye bahut negative hai. But if it's 100, you halve it, doesn't matter so much, because in any case 100 would not have mattered. But if it's a billion and you halve it, it simply doesn't matter. So that is how hate is being weaponized and anger is being weaponized, and Facebook has not been able to control it. Once again, this research tells you that even a response to a post, right, say yes or no, a one word response, gets you 15 times more promotion or more support from Facebook than just a like, right? So people also then gamed this. People said, all right, I will write a yes or no, then I will get, then Facebook's artificial intelligence will think that this post has more value. So people then began running factories. Now, we have to be grateful to a system of journalism, particularly in the US in this case, which is taking on this big giant. It was a couple of years ago that New York Times produced a fantastic story called The Follower Factory. I'll share a link with you. That Follower Factory told you that how all of us are getting bloated egos, thinking that we have so many followers on Twitter. Whereas the fact is, a lot of those followers come out of a factory. They are bots, they are fake. These factories are sitting in Kazakhstan, they are sitting in Macedonia, places like that. There are entire floors like call centers of people working. Somebody can be 1,000 identities in a day. And after that, Twitter actually started a lot of cleanup. And that's when you find a lot of the influencers in India have been saying, oh, my followers' numbers are not going up. See, my follower numbers have gone down. So what Twitter is doing is, particularly for influencers, if you look at my followers on Twitter, as I add 5,000 genuine followers, they will take 5,000 of the older bots that they had put there. Because as they get more bots and more followers, they can spread the stuff more and they can get more engagement and more advertising. Also, those bots can then be used to spread hatred for trolling, etc., etc., because that is again appealing to our baser instincts. Kaun kisko gaari nikalta hai? Aaj chugli dekh lete hai, right? Let me see who's abusing whom, right? All that is quite juicy for people. So, similarly, Facebook is not about fake followers, but Facebook is about people setting up groups. So people can set up sort of factories, backroom operations, political parties, communal groups, pressure groups, anti-vaxxers, to then have multiple identities and do this kind of stuff. And that goes on and on and on. And that is what now has been revealed. Now, what exactly has been happening in India, I will tell you. So for that, the best story is from the Washington Post. Please read that. I'm sharing a link with you. That tells you how at some point, some people in the Facebook headquarters in Menlo Park, California, they set up two dummy accounts as if these are accounts in India to see what kind of stuff is Facebook sending at them, pushing at them. One of these accounts was supposed to belong to a 21-year-old Indian woman living in North India. Not a real one, it's a dummy account. As if I've created an account, I'm a 21-year-old woman, maybe Kusumlata or something, sitting in Bilaspur, Madhya Pradesh, right? Or some place like that. Now, what is it that Facebook sends at me? So they wanted to see what does Facebook send to just anybody in India. So they found initially that this was non-English speaking people. They found initially it was soft porn, or what is called so soft porn, probably is maybe just this 18 plus kind of stuff from some of the OTT platforms, etc., which they thought was harmless and usual. 21-year-old, you will think that they would watch something like this. And soon enough, they found that these accounts were being bombarded by hateful stuff, by fake news, and also by stuff that promoted hatred or fear of communities. And as more of this was sent out, they found even more came in. So Facebook's own algorithm, its own internal technologies, it was all engineering, right? It was putting engineers and engineering, they were gaming our hearts and minds. And they were giving stuff that they thought we might, may or may not enjoy. Maybe we'll get some dark satisfaction out of it, but also something that will catch our eye and that will keep us fixated. Because the longer we stay on, the more money they make. So they found out that this was a system that was very vulnerable to abuse by bad actors and authoritarian regimes in India. And there's a quote from there. The quote is from Samit Chakravarti, who was a civic integrity head at Facebook earlier, Indian name. He said, "The painful reality is we simply can't cover the entire world with the same level of support. Because I told you that 84% of all their resources for monitoring, they spend in America, which is 10% of the market. Rest of the world is 16%. In India, their largest market, has a fraction of that 16%. Now, why has this set of revelations caused such a big commotion? Because, you know, Facebook is quite holier than thou, right? And they always say, we want to change the state of the world. We help new entrepreneurs, which they do. It's a good platform. We also support democracy, free speech, etc., etc. And in the process, Mark Zuckerberg, who's a global star, rulers of big countries, including ours, like to be photographed with him. Now, he has been claiming that his systems can already filter 90% of the hate speech or 90% of the violent content or fake news on Facebook. These revelations tell you that what they catch is not more than 4%. So 96% of the rest gets out. For example, these researchers who created these dummy accounts, these are Facebook's own researchers. They found that this so-called 21-year-old Indian woman's account was soon bombarded with posts saying 300 Pakistani dogs killed. That is after the bombing in Balakot. After that, there were pictures of stretchers with lots of bodies taking out. Now, in reality, we saw no such pictures. In reality, there was no count of any bodies. But the fact is that the use of the word dogs for Pakistanis in that case, and then increasingly use of the word pigs, say, for Muslims. And then more stuff started appearing, targeting Kashmiris all over the country. And that particularly brought focus and threat on Kashmiri students in many Indian colleges and universities outside of the valley. All of that was happening, and these people figured it out. Now, the fact is nobody quite bothered about this, because in our countries, liability laws are poor, oversight is poor, our agencies are government controlled, and once the government has you in their pocket, or you have the government in their pocket, or some mile hue hain, which has been the case more often than not in India as well, if that happens, then who's to question you? Now, to understand how callously they've taken countries like ours, I told you how they invested too little in Indian languages, not even enough in Hindi, in Bengali to monitor content, right? But say in Pakistan, Pakistan is mostly read in Urdu. Facebook also is read and interacted with in Urdu. Now, Facebook's own instructions of what is healthy content, what is unhealthy content, what should be put out, what should not be put out, those instructions also Facebook did not bother translating in Urdu. They put those out in Pakistan in English, and you know what? Because some genius there, some Einstein told them that Urdu is read right from left, English is left read left from right. Aap English mein dal do, wo Urdu padhne wale, they read Urdu. So put this stuff in English in such a way that you read right to left. Just think about it. So that is the kind of respect they have for markets like these, which give them a lot of customers, but do not threaten them so much in terms of calls for liability and accountability. And that's been going on and on. For example, in India, they found posts that go on and on saying that Quran asks people to rape their own family members. And the report also tells you, the section on India also tells you, that in India, it's been particularly badly used and particularly more scientifically used by the pro-Hindu groups. And they are also, when things have been pointed out, the company Facebook has been hesitant to take action. So this report again, the research report which has come out, it says Facebook, quote, routinely makes exceptions for powerful actors when enforcing content policy. You saw some of that came out in India earlier, but that is what continues even now. So these revelations also tell you that a 2019 report, again inside Facebook, told them, their data scientists produced this report, that told them that misinformation, toxicity, low quality news actually gets much more engagement and actually gets promoted a lot more. It also said that some of the worst quality content on Facebook had algorithms that beat checks and balances or machine learning software. So somebody writes to Mark Zuckerberg, all we wanted was a dislike button. I mean, what he implies is, why so many emojis for us? One like, one dislike, ho gaya na, jaise YouTube mein hai. But on the other hand, Zuckerberg replies to him, you can use the angry face. So you can see where they are coming from. That angry face had a purpose behind it. That purpose was more numbers, more engagement, more advertising, more sales, more revenue. So I am also new to digital publishing. So I also figured, how does this hidden power of artificial intelligence, machine learning works? Because some of our readers, viewers, they wrote to me saying that angrily, saying, why are you selling this pornographic ads on your site? So I said, take some screenshots and send them to me. So they sent me screenshots. Again, these were not really pornographic, but they were, say, from adult film sites or adult OTT content, right? Promoting those shows. So I asked our marketing and sales people, okay, are we selling space or time to these guys? They said, no, we do nothing of the sort. This is just Google picks up what you want to see. So Google has artificial intelligence. And if you've been scrolling pornographic channels, and if you've been watching adult channels or adult movies, then they will give you these ads. We have no control over what ads come in. So that is how this hidden system works.